Call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today's March 17th. We're in State Capitol Senate Finance Room. Today, present, we have Chairman Olson, Stedman, Senators Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk, and myself, Senator Hoffman. We have full contingent finance members to conduct business. We have three items on today's agenda. First being the eliminate the tax discounts, Senate Bill 164, Senate Bill 55, TERS contribution rate, PERS and TERS Social Security, or SBS, and SJR 29 constitutional amendment for education. Item one, Senate Bill 164, tax, eliminate tax deductions. This is the first hearing on this bill. I invite Senator Merrick and her staff to the table to introduce the bill to the committee and tell us what it does. Welcome.
Good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day, co-chairs and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, I'm Kelly Merrick, Senator for District L in beautiful Chugiak Eagle River. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 164 today. The luck of the Irish is with the committee today, Mr. Chairman. If a simple tax bill exists, this is it. This bill was drafted last year when it seemed the whole country was focused on government efficiencies. Our constituents want a more streamlined, cost-effective government, and this is a small step in that direction. We're all aware of the indirect expenditure report published every year by our nonpartisan, published every other year by our nonpartisan Legislative Finance Division in cooperation with the Department of Revenue. This riveting document is hundreds of pages analyzing areas where we are foregoing revenue and whether or not that's what we want. Our intention with Senate Bill 164 is to take several, we hope, non-controversial recommendations from legislative finance, reassess them, and have the conversation of whether they still serve a purpose or if we need these drops in our revenue bucket instead. Some of these components have actually been in place longer than Senator Hoffman has been in the legislature. The Department of Revenue estimates SB 164 could raise nearly $500,000 a year for the state, money that could be included in a capital budget for public safety or more. Mr. Chairman, my staff can walk through the selections we've made, but at the end of the day, this is a simple tax bill asking, do we want to keep doing what we're doing, or should this revenue be added to our pot of gold? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Hazelton. Please identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Sorsha Hazelton, staff to Senator Merrick. As the Senator mentioned, this bill comes from the Indirect Expenditure Report, specifically from 2021. With each report, the Legislative Finance Division looks at specific departments, divisions, and programs. They don't look at the whole state system at once. So while there are more recent reports, they do not cover the same programs. The 2021 report covered 136 credits, exemptions, discounts, and deductions within the departments of Commerce, Fish and Game, Health, Labor, and Revenue. We looked through the report and pulled only a few of the more than 45 programs where the nonpartisan Legislative Finance Division has recommended legislative review, reconsideration, or termination. The specific items included we've included separate backup documents in your packets with page numbers that correspond to the report and updated information from the Department of Revenue, though theirs does not include a recommendation section. The sectional analysis summarizes the specific deductions and credits SB 164 is eliminating: the motor fuel tax timely filing credit, the tobacco products tax timely filing deduction, the cigarette stamp tax discount, and the tire fee timely filing discount. These were selected based on a combination of the legislative finance recommendation and possible ease of consensus among legislators. For example, this bill does not include business license discounts for seniors, it does not eliminate any exemptions for government entities, and it does not have anything to do with fish at all. I'm happy to go over any or all of these in more detail if the committee wishes.
Thank you, Ms. Hazelton. Do any members have questions for Ms. Hazelton or Senator Merrick, the prime sponsor, Senator Stedman?
Yes, let's look at the cigarette tax. It looks like the largest dollar one, and just maybe explain how that works.
Yes. Sections 3 and 4 of the bill eliminate the cigarette stamp tax discount. In 2003, the legislature included this discount to defray the costs of purchasing new equipment required to stamp cigarettes that proved a tax had been paid on them. At the time, the machine cost $75,000, and the discount was up to $50,000. These stamps are affixed to acknowledge the taxes have been paid on the cigarettes, and today the machines have been purchased, and the stamping is largely done out of state. Legislative Finance recommended termination, as the stamps should be considered a cost of doing business when selling cigarettes in Alaska. There are eight companies benefiting from this discount to the tune of roughly $40,000 a year, and these sections would recover roughly $308,000 annually.
Senator Stedman.
No, that's fine.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions on the bill? Thank you, Senator Merrick, for introducing Senate Bill 164. We will open the public hearing at this time. Is there anyone online? 64. We don't have anyone online. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on Senate Bill 164? Seeing none, no opposition. We will go to Senator Keel to review the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 164 has a single fiscal note from the Department of Revenue in the Tax Division. They show no increased appropriation needed for operating expenditures, saying they can reprogram the tax software computer system with existing resources. They show increased revenues of $265,000 unrestricted general funds and $202,700 of designated general funds. And there is a chart lining out specifically which tax type generates which of those increased revenues on page 2, with further detail on page 3.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Are there questions on the fiscal note? If we had a constitutional amendment to dedicate funds to education, this could be a contributor.
Certainly.
Any closing comments, Senator Merrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate you hearing the bill today.
Thank you. We will set this bill aside and go to the second item on our agenda today, which is Senate Bill 55, TERS contribution rate, PERS/TERS, Social Security, or the SBS program. This bill was heard twice in April last year. We took public testimony, reviewed the fiscal note at that time. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Finance Committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 55, Finance, version I as in Iliamna, before the committee as a working document.
And I will object to hear an explanation from Senator Stedman's staff. Rose Foley, please come forward and identify yourself for the record and review the CS for the committee.
Thank you. For the record, Rose Foley, staff to Senator Stedman. You have in your packet a summary of changes from version N to the version I that you just adopted. The only section that remains the same is section 5, which is the effective date. The new section 1 has conforming changes that reference the new language added in section 2 of the bill. Section 2 sets forth a stepped-in approach to implementing participation in the SBS program for new entrants. In the first year of participation, the contribution rate for both the employer and employee will be 2%. That will increase to 4% the second year of participation and come to the full 6.13% in the third year and beyond. Section 3 of the bill opens the supplemental benefit system up to participants in the teacher's retirement system as well as public employees' retirement system. And section 4 of the bill excludes the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska from the requirements of SB 55.
Thank you for that explanation. Do members of the committee have any questions on the CS? Any comments, Senator Stedman?
No, I support the CS, and I'd like to speak to it when we're, or would you like me to speak to the overall issue now?
We could speak to the overall issue at this time.
Okay.
Seeing no questions from finance members.
Okay. So what we got here, let me back up a little bit for those watching at home. Years ago, when we this government put in Social Security, government officials were excluded, and later on they were had and government employees, and then later on they had the ability to be included if they wanted to, and the teachers did not include themselves and have not included themselves in Social Security, and this goes clear back to the 60s. So the concern with this bill, Mr. Chairman, is that the teachers throughout our state are missing a large component part of their retirement. Regardless of what we do with the retirement bill that's in front of the legislature now on modifications, this really doesn't address that issue, because this is in addition to. And regardless of what we do with that issue, this issue in front of us, including them in potentially the SBS, the state supplemental benefit system, would greatly influence and impact their retirement dollar amounts. To give you an example for those at home, the average or the workers would be putting in 6.13% of their salary to a savings plan, replicating or supplanting Social Security, and the employer would put in 6.13. All state workers have this intact and have had for many, many years. So it has a huge impact, and if you look at the teachers around the state, according to the NEA anyway, the average teacher salary is $78,256 average. This is, I think, a year old data, maybe, from FY23-24. It puts Alaska in 10th place for salaries across the country. We're in 10th place. Should be in number one, in my opinion, because we have the highest cost of living, but that's another discussion. So what this would mean for the average teacher would be they would contribute $4,700, I'm rounding it off, a year. The employer, basically the state, because we fund the schools, so we might as well look at it as our cost, an additional $4,700. That's 100% match. So for every dollar that goes into this account, the employer matches 100% of that. So in total, the average teacher would be saving an additional, counting their contribution, $9,594, or just rounded off to $9,600 a year. $9,600 a year. That $9,600 a year would then compound tax deferred, Mr. Chairman, until they retire and pull it out. And if you look at the amount of dollars we're talking about, and we can, our fiscal notes that we have here are incorrect because they're for an older version, but for ballpark purposes, there's roughly 7,100 teachers in the state, and that comes out to about $34 million. You might as well double that, because there's a lot of other employees that aren't certified teachers, right? So somewhere around $75 million. So we're not talking about some inconsequential dollar amount here. But when you take a look at the impacts on the employees, I think the and we've had numerous presentations here, Mr. Chairman, of the finance table on our supplemental benefit system and the dollar amounts. And we have another upcoming one here in a few weeks on their rate of returns and so on and so forth. but it's not uncommon for the average state worker after a career at the state to have somewhere around $800,000 in their account. You can use 600 as a low number and a million at the high number. There's accounts well over $1 million in SBS. So if you just used, you can use a conservative number of 600 if you want, or 800, $1,000 in addition to whatever retirement that the employee would have in their defined benefit account or their defined contribution account, regardless. Those two are going to be fairly comparable relative to putting $600,000 to $1 million on the table. So it is significant. I think it's a huge gap we have in our retirement system. Also, Mr. Chairman, when we move away from the teachers' discussion and we look at some of our cities and boroughs and other non-state entities that are in our retirement system, some of them have not included Social Security or SBS for their employees. If they're policemen, firemen, rank and file folks at City Hall working, they in turn are missing roughly a third of their retirement also. I think, in my opinion, Mr. Chairman, this was an error in an oversight back in 2005 when we were looking at implementing a new retirement system. Frankly, I should have caught that at that time, or, you know, we had lots of issues at that time we were arguing about. But we should have made it mandatory that if you're going to be in the state retirement system, you have to have Social Security for your employees or supplemental benefit system that's a replacement of Social Security or a negotiated labor agreement with your employees to cover that, because it is a significant portion of the retirement system, and they don't have that. So that's a issue there. So what we're talking about here is a significant financial impact to the state if you were to put it in one place, or impact at one time. But this is still considerably cheaper than the payments that we're making for the unfunded liability, which is a couple hundred million a year, to the pushing a couple hundred plus or minus a little bit every year. So 75 looks cheap relative to that. But also I'd like to note, Mr. Chairman, and remind people, back in the 60s, when they had the opportunity to go in the teachers into Social Security, their salaries were number one in the nation. And we had tier one retirement. They were compensated and taken care of. Those times have changed over the last 50 years. We no longer have tier one, and we no longer are number one across the country in salaries. According to the NEA, we're number 10 a couple years ago. I don't know where we are now. We're probably still up in that range, but we're certainly not anywhere close to number one. We're about 15% behind that. So, Mr. Chairman, this bill is significant impact to retirement. It also has a phase-in, Mr. Chairman, and that's something that the committee could think about and talk about. If we were to cliff it, instantly say, you know, Monday morning, everybody gets 6.13% docked out of their paycheck to go to their retirement, and the state's going to kick in 6.13. That would be a difficult thing for the families to deal with and the state. So this bill puts a three-year phase in, 2% the first year, 4% the second year, third year would pick it up to the 6.13%, coming up with some kind of a phase-in so we can adjust our finances. As you know, it's rather strained, regardless of this current bubble in oil prices. We've got some challenges here at the table. So what this bill does, Mr. Chairman, is a method to make put the teachers and some of the employees at the municipal level and other non-state entities that are in our retirement system on par with all the state workers. And when I look up and down the table here and I see a retired teacher that spent many, many years working and other folks, you could use myself as the guinea pig, the teacher has roughly 15% going to his retirement or her retirement. State worker has 25. And it comes down to the lack of SBS. So there's no way a teacher can keep up with an average state worker. And they should be, in my opinion, comparable. So in essence, that's what this bill does.
Thank you. With that, I would remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Is there further objection to the adoption of the CS? The CS is adopted. Thank you for that explanation. Senator Stedman, do members of the committee have any questions or comments of Senator Stedman or the CS? Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. I just want to say I appreciate this bill. I've been puzzled by the lack of awareness in general, when talking about compensation for teachers and others that are affected by this gap, there seems to not be a general awareness that that's been the case. And there's a lot of discussions about other things to do, but to me, this is a direct way to deal with a piece that's been missing. And I find it surprising that a gap like that could endure for so long. I agree it should have been fixed long ago, but the best time to fix a problem is as soon as possible. So I appreciate this bill.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Additional comments, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm inclined to agree with Senator Stedman that this is a problem that needs fixing. I would say it's probably the second biggest problem that needs fixing in our public retirement systems in the state. I think that when we – well, I won't repeat his analysis of the gaps. I think when we look at a bill like this, we just need to make sure that we're looking at the whole price tag. And I didn't run through it for the municipal PERS employees or the school district PERS employees, but when I looked at the teacher's retirement system, the TERS payroll, I'm inclined to agree it's about $33, $34 million in year one of the phased implementation. So at year three, full implementation, it is probably going to take about $100 million. And so we just need to have our eyes open that filling this hole in this piece of the retirement system, just on the teacher's side, it's going to go another $100 million a year at full implementation. So when we look at which parts to do first and which parts to do second, I think it's important to have the full array in front of us. I'll put together some PERS numbers here, or we can have the department do it. All of that said, the fundamental underlying analysis is sound. This is a missing piece.
Thank you. I appreciate the phase in. The issue, I think, is does that this CS represent too aggressive of a phase in? And the committee may want to look at that. I think in the out years, after year five, this committee is well aware that things could change. So maybe the sponsor could look at that and the other committee members could consider a slower phase-in. We have the five-year phase-in for the implementation of the POMV drawdown, which makes it easier on our finances to take that into consideration. So that also may be something that this committee may want. It's the end result, and there's a lot of issues that are out there, but certainly education is a high priority. Any closing comments, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we can look at that. We can look at the cost of maybe 1% a year over 6 years. We'll get the analysis of the 2%, some kind of a phase in. We'd also have to probably look at how we would eventually make sure the money's got to the employees, that it doesn't get siphoned off somewhere else, you know, as we go through the BSA process. But I would be personally inclined to look at this as part of a BSA change, because it goes directly to the employees. And at the municipal level, it would be for future, you know, future workers. I think we'd have some challenges there. But I don't have a lot of, well, I don't have a lot of sympathy at the local level for those communities that have not had their employees in Social Security, because I look at it as a foundation to all retirement. So I think they need to step up to the plate and take care of their employees also, and they have also cost concerns. So I think a slower phase-in certainly should be and could be looked at. That's certainly better than not having anything for another 20 years.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. And just to comment on that, I did some reading about the history of that decision, and apparently people were concerned about the solvency of Social Security and hesitant to lean on it, because as an actuarial-based system with a declining working population supporting a growing retired population, the solvency of it was in question, so people didn't trust going into it. But that decision perpetuated with no other decision, I think, led to this.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Any additional comments by Senate Finance members? Seeing none, we'll put that bill aside and go to the last item on today's agenda, sticking with the theme of education. Senate Joint Resolution 29 is a constitutional amendment on educational funding. This is the first hearing on this resolution, and I invite Ms. Harpo, Senator's staff to Senator Olson, to the table to introduce the resolution.
Thank you. Good morning. For the record, Liz Harpold, staff to Senator Olson and the Senate Finance Committee. As the chair wishes, I will go over the mechanics of this resolution, but I would like to pass it back to you and the co-chairs to speak to the intent of this. I also, hopefully by now, remarks from Legislative Legal should be online in case if there's questions after I'm done explaining the mechanics. Senate Joint Resolution 29 proposes an amendment to Article 9 of the Alaska Constitution. This resolution will create a new section, Section 18, to Article 9 to allow the legislature to create an education fund as a separate fund in the state treasury. Additionally, included in the creation of this fund is the requirement that money in this fund be appropriated only for public education. As with all proposed changes to the state's constitution by the legislature, if Senate Joint Resolution 29 passes both bodies, the resolution will appear on the ballot for registered Alaskan voters to consider in the next general election. And this concludes my introduction of the resolution.
Thank you. There are many problems in the area of education. The problem of teacher retention that Senator Stedman had mentioned. There is a problem out there in the general public that school districts are clamoring for another increase in the base student allocation. We increased that somewhat last year, but to school districts, including the largest one, the municipality of Anchorage School District, is facing a $90 million deficit this year, and we're probably going to have this committee addressing the base student allocation later on in the year. But right now we are, as a state, responsible for public health, public education, public safety, along with a lot of other things. But you ask, over the years that I've been here in the legislature, what is the number one issue that people say that they support, and that is education. If you have an educated population, that educated individual will make better decisions on their health. protect themselves better, and overall, I think reducing a dependency upon state assets. So what this does, it does not raise revenue, but it sets aside and raises the elevation of education to a fund that the future legislators can look at to set aside funds to address further issues such as the BSA, such as problems with the retention of teachers, along with a host of other issues that we do not see. As was stated, this is not a decision that we would make, but it would present that issue to the voters of Alaska to see if it rises to the a level that they see a need to address education. I believe that this is something that we should consider. I've discussed this issue with both our congressional delegations, and one of them had said that other states have had dedicated funds. They have endowments for education and have risen education to a higher level of attention than the state of Alaska. So I think that this is one way that we could bring that to the attention of the general public and see if they're interested in making this constitutional change. So available for questions if any members have any questions at this time. Senator Stedman.
Just a brief comment, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think when we look back, and I'm certainly no constitutional scholar or constitutional attorney by any way, shape, or form, but as I recall, that when they made the Constitution, our forefathers, they excluded the dedicated funds for very good reasons. So we don't have dedicated funds. This would be asking the populace to allow us to have dedicated funds for education. And when I look around at the state of our education system, it is very, very concerning, not only the ranking of our kids across the country, but the physical condition of our schools. So I think it's time that, Mr. Chairman, that we give the public the opportunity to see if they would not like to have a dedicated fund for education. And we are one of the richest states in the union, and we certainly should be able to have a better education system than we have. And we've seen it here, Mr. Chairman, when we look at the physical state of our schools around the state, from way up at the most northern region to the clear to the most southern region. There's challenges. And I think we have the ability to do better, and I think this would be a step that we should put in front of the public for their consideration.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further comments? Seeing none, we will open up the public hearing at this time. I don't see anyone online. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify at this time? Seeing none, Senator Keel, review of the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Joint Resolution 29 has a loan fiscal note from the Office of the Governor, Division of Elections. They assign it a zero cost, zero revenue. Adding this constitutional amendment to the ballot can be done with existing resources.
Questions on fiscal note? Senator Kaufman.
Does this bill literally create a fund?
Yes, it does.
I just note that the fiscal note says no with respect to that question.
We will get that answered before the next hearing. Further questions, Senator Stedman?
Mr. Chairman, it might be nice for those watching at home to kind of give them a rundown how constitutional change works.
Well, the Constitution, there's two ways that a constitutional amendment can be implemented. One is the legislature can introduce a resolution, and it must pass the bodies by two-thirds vote. The executive branch does not have input on whether or not this would go forward. The second option is a petition process. Individual citizens of the state of Alaska can get a petition signed, and when they get the adequate number of signatures, that process or that issue can be placed on the ballot for the people. So those are the two mechanisms for a constitutional amendment. With that, I will set a deadline for tomorrow at 3 p.m. To submit amendments to Liz Harpel of Senator Olson's office at this time. Brief eddies. Come back to order. We'll set this bill aside at this time. That concludes this morning's meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow at 9 a.m. We'll take up two pieces of legislation, Senate Bill 212, number of Supreme Court justices, and Senate Bill 227, tax compact, sales tax, oil and gas tax. Is there anything else to come? With that, we stand adjourned.